And then it says they're not a cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to And I wasn't going to do this, but in the conference, the guy spoke in the first session we spoke in. He set three chairs up across the front. And the title of the message and the question was, which chair are you sitting in? This first chair was a Joshua chair. The second chair was Joshua Jr. And the third chair was Joshua the Third. And if you read in this passage, and I can take you, but for time's sake I won't, but we know who Joshua was. Joshua eat manna from heaven. Joshua drank water that come out of a rock. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. We know the experience that Joshua had with God. Well, this second generation seen Joshua's experience but didn't experience him themselves. And the third chair just heard the stories but never seen it. Which chair are we in this morning? See, this third chair is probably lost. The second chair, they may be saved, but they don't have the power of God in their lives and not experiencing victory in their lives because of their experience with God. The first chair is having experience with God because they've got a right relationship with God and they're serving Him and they're feasting on the manna. They're drinking from the rock. They're experiencing the victories of God in their lives and God's moving in a mighty way. Is that where we are, or are we watching it with somebody else? And see, he even likened that to churches. What is it we talk about? Boy, we used to have revivals. Come on. We used to baptize them. They'd be lined up out the door to be baptized. Is there not a cause to get stirred up today? We're raising up a generation that's just hearing these things and ain't experiencing it. This fellow pastor's church with 3,000. And he was at a service and he was telling of a service and they was using him. And he was telling all the things they had experienced in the church. And he said on the way home that day, his grandson said, "Granddad, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Well, sure." He said, "Why ain't that happening now? Why's that not happening now? Has God changed? Has God left us? Is there not a cause? Is their families not important enough? Is their loved ones and her kinfolks and her neighbors and the people we love near and dear, are they not important enough to us? Is there not a cause today?" See, the Philistines were now deep into Israel territory. They were encamped about, and they were on one ridge and Israel was on the other, and they were just mocking and ridiculing. And see, they were in there defying the armies of God. They would defy the armies of Israel, God. They were defying everything that Israel stood for. See, this is what happens when you give place to the devil. He just moves right in. I heard it, seen it on the church sign or in the bulletin or something one time. Said, "Don't let the devil ride with you, because every time he does, he winds up driving." Amen. And so this morning, see, we have given America, we have given place to the devil long enough. We've turned our televisions over to him. We've turned our radios over to him. We've opened up the doors of the house and said, "Bring that nonsense right on in." Amen? We've allowed him to infiltrate every part of our makeup. Even the way we dress. See, Goliath was near and without resistance. Goliath was right in the face of them, and they had no resistance. I'm telling you, I could hook up and preach right there for a while. Are we resisting the devil? The Bible said if we resist the devil, he'll flee. Well, he's all over us. We must not be resisting him enough. You know, I'm afraid that we've been on Facebook more than we've been in his book. Come on. We've been involved in too many things, and we've let what makes us who we are as Christians, we've let it, the importance of it, slip down the road. Boy, we might be here a while this morning. I ain't even got started. Pray for me, Brother Sam. Sam's got my back this morning. There stood a 9 foot, some say six, some says 9'9", some says he could have been over 11 foot. Let's say 9'9". There stood a 9'9" tall giant. Israel, knees was a knocking. Absolutely scared to death of this giant. Terrified. His coat of mail was made of brass, and it overlapped like fish scales, weighed 156 pounds. A lot of us can't even pick that much up anymore. His spearhead weighed probably between 18 and 30 pounds. His helmet was 15 pounds. Boy, this was a scary sight. See, the devil wants to strike fear in your heart and mine. Because when he gets us feared and scared, we don't make rational decisions. The guy come here and walked through with security with us the other day. He talked about the 85-15 switch. And I didn't know what it was. And I can't remember exactly, but one time, normal, you have 85% of the oxygen, is it, to your brain? 15 to your body. But when you get in a real nervous situation and scared, it switches. And you have more to your body than you do your brain. And he said, what you do then in that time is what you have been trained is what your body automatically does. So when we, devil, gets us scared and gets us fear, we quit thinking with our mind as much as we do our bodies. Amen? And we get in trouble and we allow things to happen and he strikes fear in our hearts. We see the politicians doing it all the time. If I can strike fear in the to you against the guy that's running for me, I've got a leg up on him. 40 days, a time of trial and testing. He stood there. We're in that 40-day period, you might say, right now. We're in the time of trials and testing. See, a lot of things happened under the watch of Saul. Saul was supposed to have done defeated this army, but he wasn't obedient to God and allowed, and the army now has made a comeback and is right in their face more than he ever have. Probably never been this deep into Israel. I don't know that for sure. I didn't study enough to really know, but they were real deep into Israel. There's a lot of things happened in the United States of America under the church's watch. Amen. We've sat back and allowed a lot of things. We allowed the Bible reading in 1962 and 3, Bible reading and prayer, be banned in our schools. Let me read you something. In 1963, Madeline Mary O'Hara won a lawsuit against the Baltimore school system, which voted 8-1 to ban school prayer and label it unconstitutional. Young people, for 15 years before 1963, pregnancies in girls 15 to 19 had been no more than 15 per thousand. After 1963, pregnancies increased 178% in the next 15 years. For younger girls, 10 to 14, pregnancies since 1963 are up 553%. Before 1963, sexually transmitted diseases among students were 400 per 100,000. Since 1963, they were up 226% in the next 12 years. The family, 1963 divorce rates had been declining for 15 years. 15 years prior to 63, there'd been a gradual decline. After 1963, divorces increased 300% each year for 15 years. Since 1963, unmarried people living together is up to 353%. Single-parent families up to 140%. Single-parent families with children up to 160%. The educational standard of measurement, the SAT, the scores had been steady for many years before 63, but from 63 they rapidly declined for 18 consecutive years. And even though it was the same test it had been since 1941. Violence has increased 544%. Illegal drugs have become enormous and uncontrollable problem. Used to, the biggest problem the teacher had in the classroom, biggest thing she had to worry about, was talking and chewing gum. That's the biggest thing I know, and the two old boy rednecks getting a fight every now and then. And that's about the worst thing we dealt with. You're dealing with a lot more than that now, ain't you, Brother Tim? Now you got to worry if that backpack they got on their back's got a gun in it. How's it done since we kicked God out of school? In 1973, Roe v. Wade, abortion legalized. $60 million babies have been killed in 60 years. As I was reading and studying this, and I ran across the quote, and it was from a woman. It said, they say this is the women's right. What about the daddy? He just as much in it as she is. I'll tell you what, I'm not saying I heard as much as Rhonda did, but when we lost her too, it broke me. I hurt just as bad. Maybe not as bad, but it was hard on the daddy. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to get fired up for the Lord more than you've ever been and pray harder than you've ever prayed and try to win the lost? Is there not a cause? I added up all of the fatalities through every war and put them together up until the Iraq War. And it's been 60 times as many babies killed as we've lost men and women to free our country and keep us free. See, I think we've grown dull to it. Folks, it's murder. I'm not not trying to be all political today, but how's God going to bless this? He couldn't even bless Israel when they started killing their babies. If you look and you read through the Bible, and when they started sending their babies into the fire and it was giving them as human sacrifices, God steps in pretty quick. And then, in June 26, 2015, we got so high and mighty and snubbed our nose and told God he didn't know what the definition of marriage was, so we'd redefined it ourselves. God, you're old timey. You say one man, one woman, we're up to date, so we're going to say two men or two women can, and it's okay. We don't care what you think. That's exactly what the United States of America done in 2015. Now, boy, this ain't popular, is it? I may get in trouble. These are on the internet, Sam. I may get in trouble over this, but I'll tell you what, I'll preach it from the jail cell. It's the truth, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire. When we snub our nose up to God and tell him we don't need him no more, he gets out of the way and trouble's coming our way. Is there not a cause? That old ugly giant standing there, and we're scared to death of him. I'm going to try to hurry. I'm just almost through my introduction. Israel was terrified. I want to look at some points and probably can go through these pretty quick. Israel was terrified that day standing there looking at that giant. And they were shaking in their boots. And this little, I don't know, I picture him a little red-headed, sandy red-headed boy with blushy face and freckles all over him. Knees all skinned up. You know the type I'm talking about. That's how I picture David. And I picture him strolling in there. See, he'd probably just left a rock where he'd wrote one of the Psalms. The Lord is my high tower, my fortress, my defense, whom shall I be afraid of? Thou layest me down in peace. All of these things, ain't no telling. He's probably just come from writing one of these. And the God he loves so much, he's so in love with. Here stood a guy making fun of him and cursing him. I believe that little pink face turned red. Amen. I believe his whole head turned red. See, Israel was stood there scared to death in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Let's look down to 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And David stood there and looked at him, and he didn't flinch not one little bit. And I know y'all have heard me say it, but Israel was comparing themselves to Goliath. Today, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's bringing in and fighting against the church and fighting against everything, the family, the home, anything that he can rip and tear up, and we're scared to death of it. We're scared to death of legal battles. We're scared to death of all this stuff, and we see a big giant, and we compare ourselves to it, and we're terrified. David rolled in. David compared that giant to God. He said, God's already delivered a bear in my hands. He's already delivered a lion in my hands. And this guy, I'd rather fight a 9'6" guy than a bear or a lion, either one. Wouldn't you? We done whoop both of them. Bible said he smote them. Do you imagine running up and grabbing the lion by the beard? A bear? This guy wasn't nothing to him because he done seen what God can do. He compared the problem to God. I tell you what, when we get scared today and we think there's no way out and we think that family's doomed and we think that there's no hope, I tell you what, just compare that giant to God and your excitement will come back. Amen? Well, glory. I tell you what, I feel the Holy Ghost. I think I'm preaching the right message, brother. Say, I want to give you something, a little bit of ammunition. I'm going to give you something, your spiritual weapon. Don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. That's what David did. They said, you ain't nothing. Amen? He looked him right in the eye and said, I'm going to cut your head off. And he didn't even have a knife. Wow. It's one thing to get your head cut off, but get it off with your own sword's bad. Second one, that was David's perception. Now I want to look at his profession. In verse 46 and 47. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with spear, sword, and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. His profession was, it's not my battle. It's God's battle. If I fight my battle, I'm going to lose it. But if I'm in God's army and I'm fighting in His battle, I've already won. I've already got the victory. It's been defeated. Jesus defeated Him on Mount Calvary. And if I stay in His army and I'm true, steadfast, and sure, there's victory. Can't be nothing but in my good path. David said it ain't that your battle, Israel, it's God's battle. See, when he quit mocking you and started mocking God, he brought God in the equation. But I'll tell you, when you mock a child of God, you're in trouble, though. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. It's a dangerous thing. If somebody's doing in God's will and somebody's preaching the word, somebody's doing a good work and people's being saved, folks are being delivered, you better not talk about that person. You better be careful how you handle God's people. David had to run from Saul. Saul tried to kill him. He had every right in the world to kill King Saul. Remember what David said? David said, I'll not touch God's anointed. I'll not touch a hair on his head. And he, when he cut a little piece of his garment off, he fell under conviction so bad he went and repented for it to Saul. Second Chronicles 7:14 said, my people called by my purpose shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It's God's battle. When we turn it over to Him, He'll fight for us. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When we stand against a spiritual war, we stand against these giants, we stand against these things, we'd better be standing in His power and His might. Or we'll get run over like a back truck. Can I share this with you, and then I'll go right on. I think in our churches today, we need more praying and less plotting. We have more plotting than we do praying, I'm afraid, in our churches today and in a lot of folks' lives. If somebody really nags you and bugs you, go tell God on them. Don't tell your neighbor. Don't run and tell somebody else. Tell God. Amen? I could use amen right there. The third one, we see his progression. He said in verse 45, "Then said David unto the Philistine, Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." He's telling him here, I trust the Lord. I've got all my faith and confidence in Almighty God. And I am now, why I'm coming to you is because God's going to fight my battle. God's going to take care of my problem. God's going to help me through and over the hill, around the curve, and it don't matter what's coming in 2018 for us, or what's coming down the road. He's already there. He already knows what it is, and I pray and he'll take the blunt off of it. And when we get hit head on, and that giant comes and is coming down on us, just remember, it's his battle and he's in charge, and I'm trusting him with it. We've quit trusting him. That preacher yesterday pulled a thing out of his pocket. My mind's racing so much now I can't even think what you call them. We download stuff on the save. Yeah, thumb drive. He pulled one out. He said, when I first started preaching on Saturday night, I'd be praying to the Lord and begging him for something to preach on. He pulled out and said, now I've got 4,000 messages in my pocket. We get to where we don't trust him. When you're broke, you trust God. When you got a little money in the bank, you quit trusting him. We trust him until we got those credit cards. Amen? See, his confidence was in past victories. He said, I beat the lion, I beat the bear. God supplied my needs then. He'll supply them now. He gave me the strength I needed then. He'll give me the strength today and tomorrow. He gave me the finances I needed back then. He'll give them to me now. Amen? He healed me back then. He'll heal me again. I can trust him. He's never let me down. He's never failed me. I don't know about you, but I've went to him time after time and I said, Lord, I'm in an awful mess. He's not always answered like I want, like I would, but he has answered and he supplied my needs and he's brought me through. Then his preparation. He spent a lot of time in preparation. All those nights out there in watching his sheep. You ever thought? Now, you gals won't know what I'm talking about, but you fellas will. How many hours have we spent with a stick or something and throwing up a rock and hitting it? Now, you fellas confess, any of them's ever done that? That was before the internet and games and all that, so we used to. I'll tell you this, I throwed up a rock one time and hit it and knocked it into a tree. Now, this is the truth. Knocked it into a tree and it hit a bird and the bird fell out. Honest. That's kind of like fishing, ain't it? David standing out there with that sling. I'll bet you he could hit hour after hour after hour. It's just nothing to him. when the going got tough and the battle got down and Israel's name was at stake, David didn't go to the new things. He told King Saul, what was it he told him when he tried to put his uniform on him? He said, I've not tried this. I've never used this before. Get this mess off of me. He went and found a little five rocks stuck in his pocket. Now I'm ready. I'm ready now. One rock. Glory! And I like it too. David had to have some redneck in him. He said he ran. Here come Goliath lumbering through there with 200 or 300 pounds of armor on him. And here come David running like a little deer. Poof. Glory! Hallelujah! Don't try to use what the world uses. Don't try to use what somebody else uses. Don't. And it's good to read. It's good to do different things and get different ideas. But use what God's give you and what He's used in the past. Gideon just used trumpets and pitchers and lamps. That was the craziest battle plan I ever heard of. Amen? But he won the battle. The battle was the Lord's. And now his plan. David used the plan that the church don't use today. Don't raise your hand, but I'm sure most of us have been in a fight when we was boys. What was the number one thing if you ever got in a fight you wanted to do? Get that first lick in. The redneck's coming out of me. Get that first lick in. The guy that taught me to fight said when you get their eyes watering, you got 5 seconds. He said you can do a lot of damage in 5 seconds. I'm sorry, I'm going to get off of him. David got the first lick in. If a man was going into battle and the sword was one of his big, wouldn't it have been out of his sheath? David hit him so fast, David had to get it out of his sheath. Is that not right? David hit him so fast he couldn't even get his sword out. Wham! He didn't see what was coming. Glory, hallelujah. The power of God hit that boy and he hit that giant and the battle was over before he even could get his sword out. And what if David had hunkered back and let him get that? It could have been a total different battle. He didn't even have his thing pulled down over his the face shield. I bet his shield was down here. He said, what's this little punk going to do? Wham! Glory, hallelujah. All the demons in hell ought to tremble when we get together. Amen. What's this punch going to do over here? And wham! Before you know it, punch him right in the face. Well, I tell you, we need to take the fight to him. We need to take the fight to the world. We need to take the fight to the enemy and not let him bring it to us. In church security, our goal is if we have any problem, we take care of it out there and it don't get in here. The problems with the devil, we need to take care of it before it ever gets into the house of God. Amen. Not be on a defensive mode. Then they had a post-victory party. And they shouted. David carried that head all the way in and gave it to King Saul. But he kept his armor and put it in his tent. See, I want to tell you today when these statistics that I read and these things and the problems in the world today, we can say there's no winning. We've done been beat. I don't believe that. I believe we can still arise. I believe if we pray hard enough and we fast enough, that we can get godly leaders in into places that'll change legislation. I believe we can pray hard enough, we'll get good Christian people on the Supreme Court that'll make a decisions and it'll change some laws and some things that's been brought and twisted around. It's up to us. It's up to us Christians. It's up to us to change local levels, to get in and run for offices. To get involved. We sit back too much and we say, well, we're church, we can't get in politically. Hogwash. I'm not up here for any platform except God's platform. I want to read. I'm going to go against everything that I studied when I was started preaching. Said, don't never. The worst thing you can do is add a different scripture in your conclusion. So, but I'm going to. In 2 Kings chapter 13, and this was when Elisha was about to die, and King Joash was there with him. And Elisha told him, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice. He had told him just before that to shoot arrow out the window. And he smote thrice and stayed. He hit the ground three times with arrows and quit. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest smitten five or six times. Then thou hast smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou smit Syria but thrice. So I'm afraid that we just hit the ground a time or two with our prayers and with the things that we do to stand up against the enemy instead of continuing. It's that continual pecking that gets that breaks the rock. It's that continual fight. When you get in a race, it don't care how fast you leave that finish line or the takeoff line, it's how fast you're going when you go across the finish line. See, this is a marathon. This is a long thing. I'm afraid when we have a crisis, and 9/11, there was more people in church than had been in years and years and years, and the next Sunday fell a little, the next Sunday, next thing you know, we're right back where we was. God, I'll see you next crisis. See, the crisis is today. We need to be praying today because tomorrow might be too late. What you need to do today, take care of it. Who you need to pray for today, do it today. Who you need to witness to, do it today. If you need to repent, do it today. If today is the day of salvation, if you need to get saved, do it today. Don't put it off. David Crowe stood and talked to us yesterday morning. And everything was going fine. He's at the office working. And he said, he told his secretary, he said, I don't feel too good. I think I'm going to go home and lay down a while. He went home and slept for 2 or 3 hours. His wife come in. And she said, what's going on? And he said, I don't feel so good. And she said, what's going on with your eyes? He said, one pupil is tiny as a pin. The other side's dilated. Take your whole color in. He's having a stroke. But he come through it. God delivered him. No paralysis, no slurred speech. But he said he got to thinking. And I wish I don't have my notes. I can't remember exactly what he said. But a guy had told him, had said it in the past. But he thought, what if this was it? What if? And I wasn't ever going to get to preach again. I wouldn't ever get to work anymore. This was the final. This was it. Wow, it opened his eyes. And what if today is it? What if in 2 or 3 hours from now we never be at Marbleton again? We never get to go to work again. We never, either way, if it's way of death or way, what is it? Or, and then when we stand before God, are you okay with where you are standing before God? I've done enough. I fought a good fight. I've kept faith. I've finished my course. Can we say that and stand before God with a clear conscience? Or is there something we have to take care of? Boy, Tim, I really need to do this. I really need to take, then we better do it. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to take care of our spiritual matters this morning? Take care. And if we have gotten cold and indifferent and we've kindly backed off today, let's get back on the fire line. What's the message Billy Sunday preached? Somebody's got to get on the fire line. Somebody's got to get on the fire line. Is it not a cause? Is it not a cause? Our families are going to hell. Our neighborhoods are going to hell. They're killing our kids in school. And all of this mess is going on. Is it not a cause? Somebody needs to be on the fire line. Somebody needs to be at the altar. Somebody needs to be taking care of some things. I'm going to leave you with, is there not a cause? See, David gave us some good things to do there. But what stirred all that up is there was a cause. And he said, nobody else ain't going to do it. Bless God, I will. Amen. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture that we read out of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for living in America. We thank you, Lord, for living in the buckle of the Bible Belt. We thank you, Father, for being raised